see these fools are an abuse of their authority. Crack a fist or you crack a whip, but that ain't power, you coward. You beat a man with two shackled wrists. So put their names up on a list next to an asterisk. Next time you see them blast a clip, then you flash a flick. Attach a video and pick to your master list. Be on the news at 6, YouTube views legit. The cops watch it, so we gotta have the cop watch it. Been in fear law so long, so now it's not awkward. But what is law when it's wrong, when you slam us on the floor?
1900 hours, you're listening to WBAI New York. Time for Off the Hook. And the very good entire part of the program is Off the Hook. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you on this Wednesday evening, joined tonight by Mike.
Hello.
Dot Rhett.
Hello.
Red Hat.
Hello.
Rob T. Firefly.
Good evening.
And down in Philadelphia, Bernie S.
Greetings from Philadelphia.
Well, it's been quite a day, quite a lot of news hitting the airwaves today, all about the SOPA blackout. If you have not heard about it, lots and lots of websites all throughout the world have gone dark in protest against the SOPA and PIPA bills. And we thought, what better way on this particular radio show to show our solidarity with this particular statement than to simply go on the air for an hour with 60 minutes of silence. But then we thought that on radio, it doesn't work quite as well as on a website. You know, when you have a web page, it goes black. There's a statement there, and sometimes you can put words there as well. But if you just have a radio station, you turn that off, people don't really know what you're trying to say. In fact, coincidentally enough, most of the day we were off the air here at PAI. Not on the web. On the web, we were on the air, but the transmitter was only working for a few blocks, apparently. But it's fixed now. Actually, you know, we don't know if it's fixed. We think it's fixed. You can't really tell inside the station. And it's kind of hard to find out sometimes. But I believe we're on the air, and we're able to talk about this. And we will talk about this for the whole hour.
Well, if you can't hear us, then it's intentional.
Yeah, exactly.
If you can't hear us, let us know.
Well, it's not. It was an interesting day.
See, there's the risk, Emmanuel, that if we stay silent for 4 minutes 33 seconds, we'll be sued for a copyright violation, and the whole world of copyright violations would just explode.
That is true.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, all kinds of things we have to be wary of and careful of not doing by accident. But we're going to be discussing the whole SOPA and PIPA day of outrage, I guess, is best way to describe it. Let's take a quick look at what actually happened. In the first strike of its kind, according to the LA Times, thousands of popular sites such as Wikipedia, Reddit, and Boing Boing shut down for up to 24 hours on Wednesday to protest a pair of federal anti-piracy bills that they said amounted to censorship of the internet. And I heard up to 10,000. I actually heard it was more than 10,000. I'm sure it's well over 10,000 if you count people's personal sites and all the people that have latched onto this as well. I'd be very surprised if it was below that. But certainly thousands of popular sites have taken part in this.
Well, it's hard to give exact numbers. As we know, some really big sites such as Wikipedia went black, and that kind of helped push this even more in,
what
into
a
the
pain
the
in the ass
mind.
It was not having Wikipedia today. I got to tell you, that was. although Bernie, I understand you found a way around it.
Yeah, I wasn't even trying. I was watching at the strike of midnight for it to go black, and it didn't. Now it just went several minutes past midnight, and it still was there. Good old Wikipedia. Then I realized after consulting with you, and you said that 2600.com and hope.net were a few minutes late in going black, and Wikipedia was still on. I'm like, So I turned. I realized I'm using a program called NoScript on my computer, which blocks JavaScript. And so I re-enabled JavaScript, and there was the black screen. So, you know, all these people that were complaining that Wikipedia was down, it was really just a script running on the page that if you just disabled JavaScript.
Yeah, you know, there are ways around these things. I mean, if you know the exact address of a 2600 page, you can go there and even listen to our show that way. But the point, the message was to simply get people's attention, and I think that's what was achieved today.
What I did think was funny was one of the people at Wikipedia, I think it was Jimmy Wales, tweeted a couple days ago saying that all high school students should finish their reports before Wednesday.
good advice. Very good advice, because so many people depend on this. In fact, one person, the creator of the popular television show How I Met Your Mother, Carter Bays, he sent out this tweet earlier. I love how tweets are being quoted everywhere. If the, and this is how he said it, #HIMYM, which means How I Met Your Mother, episode I'm writing is full of glaring factual errors that a quick peek at Wikipedia could have corrected, blame SOPA. So, yes, it's incredible how the effect of this is simply being felt all throughout the world.
At least as a content producer, he's blaming SOPA and not blaming the protesters of SOPA.
He could have blamed Wikipedia, but no, he's blaming the right people. So I think that's very grown up of him.
So there's this brilliant thing called the Herpterpedia, which is retweeting all kinds of people who are saying on Twitter, wondering why Wikipedia is broken. And a lot of it I can't read on the air, but... there's people saying, you know, F you, SOPA, I need Wikipedia to help me write this essay. And then another one is, why isn't Wikipedia working? And it just goes on and on, hundreds of people who are suddenly discovered this issue because Wikipedia is broken.
The extraordinarily brilliant thing about that is the fact that if you look at the screen that comes up when you try to get to Wikipedia and you read it, you will then learn why Wikipedia is down. But, you know, who reads anymore?
Now, according to the story, many Wikipedia users were caught unaware today, leading to reams of frantic rants, many filled with profanity on such sites, microblogging sites like Twitter. By the way, Twitter, the CEO of Twitter calling the whole thing silly, I thought that was kind of an interesting remark.
If I remember correctly, what he was calling silly was shutting down his international website, as he put it, for a single national issue. But I personally think that, you know, so many people being caught by surprise is exactly the point of this. People have been trying to raise awareness, and yet there are many, many people that actually don't know anything about this. So what's the best way to let people know that they might actually lose access to this information? Make these websites go dark for a day, and then people maybe will actually realize.
And as a result of this, and maybe of the protests that people have been following with their senators, some of the sponsors of the bills have actually backed out now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're going to get to that in a second. That this goes to show that when you raise your voice, as we've seen an increasing number of people do over the last few months and years, it does have an effect. It really does. I saw the tide turning as soon as people started really getting angry about the prospect of SOPA passing. It's like the net is growing up.
Well, because the thing is that in Congress, you know, the congressmen don't know a lot about all of the things all the legislation they're passing, and they get that information from the lobbyists. And for this kind of issue, there's plenty of lobbying power on the sides of the copyright holders, but not so much on the side of, you know, internet users and such like that. So really, you know, the congressional people pass laws based on what they're told by whatever lobbies. And so in this case, now there's such a vocal opposition to it from their constituents and from all of these, you know, big internet names that I guess they're reconsidering their position and realizing that ignorance about it isn't necessarily an excuse.
Well, I love how it's being portrayed as Hollywood versus the tech community. And maybe that's what it is. Maybe that's what it has to be, because there are different values at stake here.
And honestly, which would you prefer, having movies or having the internet?
I don't know. I'll have to think about that. But Bernie, go ahead.
The actual full title of the Stop Online Piracy Act, and I'm reading this on Wikipedia, by the way, is, and I'm going to quote here the people who
you're reading on Wikipedia when you're not supposed to.
Well, I'm sorry, but here it is. SOPA, Stop Online Piracy Act, to promote prosperity, creativity, entrepreneurship, and innovation by combating the theft of U.S. property and for other purposes. House Resolution 3261. That's...
just
you know, it was just a couple of weeks ago when all the bill's sponsors and co-sponsors were so cocksure of themselves that this was just going to go through without any modifications or amendments whatsoever. Remember that? Just a couple of weeks ago? How things change.
Bernie, one of the things about the Stop Online Piracy Act page on Wikipedia is it's not subject to the blackout. Even if you didn't have NoScript, you'd still be able to view it.
What,
which makes sense.
On Wikipedia, you can go to that
you
page.
You can go to that page.
That one page.
Yes.
Interesting.
Well, I mean,
maybe
it makes sense.
A way to link to other pages from that page. I don't know.
Yeah, you press escape.
Oh, okay.
I think they actually have a feature like press escape. And so basically people who actually really, really, really do need the articles are given a way around it rather than just pulling the website.
Well, I mean, my way of doing it was to simply go to the Chinese version and then go to Google Translate, translate that back to English. And well, that's the way you're supposed to do it. Okay, continuing with the story because we're gonna fill a few hours if we keep this up. We have a special guest we're gonna be adding in just a couple of minutes. Anyway, these web companies they've broadened the debate on SOPA and PIPA, recasting it from one about piracy and digital copyright protection to one about internet freedom, calling the bills well-intentioned but seriously flawed. And I don't know if they all said well-intentioned. They said SOPA in the House and PIPA in the Senate are threats to free speech that could stifle the internet economy, drive up legal costs, and lead to censorship or the shutdown of some websites. The proposed legislation creates a punishing internet censorship regime and exports it to the rest of the world, said Boing Boing. And I can't believe I just quoted Boing Boing as if it was a person. Boing Boing could never coexist with a SOPA world. We could never ever link to another website unless we were sure that no links to anything that infringes copyright appeared on that site, the company said. And it reminds me of back in the MPAA lawsuit that we fought back in 2000, how links became a major issue. Eric Martin, the general manager at Reddit, said the bills were an existential threat to our company and the industry that we work in. We try to be pretty agnostic when it comes to content, news, and politics. This is the first time we've really stepped out and made a strong statement as a company. We feel we don't have a choice. Calling the move unprecedented, Wikipedia said it believed the bills, if passed, would be devastating to the free and open web. In making this decision, Wikipedians will be criticized for seeming to abandon neutrality to take a political position. And that's a real legitimate issue. This is according to Sue Gardner, the executive director of Wikimedia. We want people to trust Wikipedia, not worry that it is trying to propagandize them. But although Wikipedia's articles are neutral, its existence is not. And that's a very good point. It's a very good point that everybody who says this is being politicized and that people shouldn't take a stand if they're running these companies, that's what they need to hear. Now, Google was operating, but its logo was completely blacked out on its homepage. It linked to a separate site highlighting its opposition to the bills. Craigslist blacked out its main page. This is great. I saw this one. The message beseeching users to contact Congress members, though visitors could still access the site's regional pages. The addendum said, tell corporate paymasters to keep those clammy hands off the internet. It's awesome that we're seeing this kind of language now.
My favorite blackout was theoatmeal.com, which is a humor. It's usually comics and humorous articles written by this one guy. But it was for anyone who's at home. Look it up. It was pretty good.
Well, continuing here, the backlash against SOPA and PIPA and the companies that support them has been mounting for months, and we've been pretty much following that since last year. The users boycotted GoDaddy last year because GoDaddy was seen as supporting SOPA, and they subsequently changed their mind.
When you say last year, you mean like 3 weeks ago, right?
Well, it was last year, yes. But I think starting in November, right? November, December.
All right,
but back
6 weeks ago?
If you listen to the tone of our voice, it seemed like a foregone conclusion that this was going to pass and that we weren't going to be able to stop it. And I think it's just because a lot of people really got angry and really rose up and did something that we're even having this conversation now.
And that's a major factor in using sites like Google and Wikipedia to get the message out, because it's always been we've always really needed to get the message out to the general public, not just the tech people who already know what's up, not just the political people, whatever. But we needed to get the average Joe who needs the internet, who uses the internet, who benefits from the internet, to realize this threat to it.
Now, in times like this, it's always fun to turn to Twitter to see some of the things that are going on. By the way, I had something really weird happen yesterday. All I did was I made a mention on Twitter that there was some crazy trending topic. I think it was called "Replace Song Titles with Tampon," and that was a trending topic, but SOPA was not. And I just pointed that out, and that got retweeted thousands of times all throughout the place. And I think I became a trending topic. And now today, SOPA is a trending topic. So that's I'll never understand how it works. I don't know what that whole tampon thing was all about, but that's part of the Twitterverse.
I can explain how it works. So you take a song title, and one of the words, you replace it.
No, that's not what I mean. I mean, how did it? Oh, never mind. But anyway, in the Twitterverse, let's take a look at what MPAA has been saying. Our good old friends at the Motion Picture Association of America. Yes, they're still there. It's amazing, isn't it, that we have the Electronic Frontier Foundation. We've got 2600 versus the MPAA, just like in 2000. It's like a reunion of sorts. Internet blackout against U.S. law fails to enlist big sites. That's their tweet for today. Yes, they consider the whole thing to be a failure. How about this? Twitter shutting down for SOPA? That's just foolish, CEO says. So they got a big kick out of the Twitter CEO calling the blackout foolish. Another tweet, piracy profiteers, time to walk the plank. Oh, boy, piracy references there. Here's another one. Misinformation can't replace honest debate and derail critically important fight to protect American jobs. And this final one, American businesses victimized on a daily basis by global internet thieves are among the most innovative industries in this nation. Okay, I really have to call attention to this statement that the Motion Picture Association of America made on its own website, entitled MPAA Response to White House Position on Anti-Piracy Legislation. Listen to this. It's like somebody got drunk and wrote this in the middle of the night. We welcome the administration's clear statement that legislation is needed to stop foreign-based thieves from stealing the hard work and creativity of millions of American workers. For too long in this debate, those that seek to preserve and profit from the status quo have moved to obstruct reasonable legislation. While many of the elements mentioned in the White House statement are critically important, we believe, as do others in our coalition, that protecting American jobs is important too, particularly in these difficult economic times for our nation. We are pleased that Chairman Leahy and Chairman Smith reiterated yesterday that they too support action. So now it is time to stop the obstruction and move forward on legislation. Our industry not only fully supports free expression, our livelihood is built upon a vibrant First Amendment. It is the foundation of our industry, and we would never support any legislation that would limit this fundamental American right. As have been made clear throughout the legislative consideration of SOPA and the Protect IP Act, known as PIPA, neither of these bills implicate free expression, but focus solely on illegal conduct, which is not free speech. We agree with Secretary Clinton's recent statement that there is no contradiction between intellectual property rights protection and enforcement and ensuring freedom of expression on the internet. We also share the administration's desire to encourage innovation. The American businesses that are victimized on a daily basis by global internet thieves are among the most innovative industries in this nation, and we welcome the administration's support of these American businesses. Every day, American jobs are threatened by thieves from foreign-based rogue websites. Foreign-based rogue websites. This deplorable situation persists because U.S. law enforcement does not have the tools to fight back. While we agree with the White House that protection against online piracy is vital, that protection must be meaningful to protect the people who have been and will continue to be victimized if legislation is not enacted. Meaningful legislation must include measured and reasonable remedies that include ad brokers, payment processors, and search engines. They must be part of a solution that stops theft and protects American consumers. We applaud the continued leadership in the House and Senate for working to enact common sense legislation to stop foreign websites from stealing American creativity and jobs. Misinformation simply can't be allowed to replace honest debate and derail the critically important fight to protect American jobs. We hope the administration's role in this debate now will help steer the attention now to what can be accomplished and passed into law to protect American jobs. Oh boy. On behalf of the 2.2 million Americans whose jobs depend on the film, and I feel like I'm in South Park here, on the film and television industries, we look forward to the administration playing a constructive role in this process and working with us to pass legislation that will offer real protection for American jobs. The failure to pass meaningful legislation will result in overseas websites continuing to be a safe haven for criminals stealing and profiting from America. Oh my God, this is unbelievable. I counted no less than 19 references to American jobs or foreign evil people that are stealing American jobs in this one statement on the MPAA's website. My God, it's like someone really went on a bender and just was lashing out left and right.
It's like they think if they say it enough that it'll become true. But they're totally ignoring the fact that if these bills were to pass, it would actually destroy many American jobs in the more vibrant technical industry.
Well, we're joined now by Eva Galperin of the Electronic Frontier Foundation. Eva is an activist over there. And are you with us?
Yes, I am.
This has been quite a day, hasn't it?
Oh, yes, it has.
A lot of fun. Now, did you read that statement from the MPAA? And did somebody hack their website or something? And this is really their way of expressing themselves?
No, this is fairly typical of the sort of statement that you see from the MPAA, including, again, many references to the death of American jobs, a lot of unsupported statistics about the cost to the American economy of internet piracy, and a lot of allegations that somehow these proposed legislation is not going to affect American companies in any way, and especially not, say, internet intermediaries that host content from all over the world, including foreign websites.
It's incredible to me because it really seems to be trying to galvanize support, making us nationalistic in opposition to these foreign pirates that are stealing everything from us here in America, and we create all the good things, and they take it all for nothing. It seems like an act of desperation almost.
It's fantastically jingoistic, yes.
One thing that struck me about the American jobs argument is I was at today the rally in front of Senator Schumer and Gillibrand's offices again to try and persuade them to vote against this bill. And one of the speakers asked the audience, you know, raise your hand if your company is hiring. And the audience, full of, you know, people who work in technology, most of us raised our hands. So the American jobs argument just falls flat on its face. If you look at who's hiring right now, it's the tech companies and not the Hollywood companies. So even if you want to accept their argument as the only thing to consider, even that fails.
Venture capitalists have specifically said that they will not invest in internet startups if PIPA and SOPA pass because of the potential for litigation. Both of these pieces of proposed legislation threaten to smother the user-generated content revolution, which all social media and cloud-based services are based off of.
Well, Mike, I want to talk more about the demonstration in just a moment. But first, I just want to throw a few more barbs out at the MPAA to settle things. And by the way, Eva, it's great to be standing with the EFF again against our old friends, the MPAA, just like we did in 2000. It's incredible how things don't seem to change. But I believe the whole net community is kind of growing up and becoming a lot more involved and educated.
Well, I think that this is not the first time we've been through this.
No.
And we understand that if we just sit idly by and let Washington make the rules, that suddenly we will not be free to innovate anymore.
And also, it's not going to be the last time, too. A lot of people, when we announced that we were going to be blacking out the 2600 website and the Hope website today, a lot of people said, but I thought the battle was won. I thought that SOPA was going down in flames. And first of all, it's not. But even if it did, and it eventually will, in all likelihood, next year something else will come up with another clever acronym. The year after that, they're always going to keep trying. And if they don't succeed here, they'll do it in other countries. And the battle is always going to be continuing.
Well, what you say is very valid. Like Red Hack pointed out, a lot of these legislators get their information about the things they're passing or voting for laws on based on who's lobbying them. So unless we continually keep an eye on these people that we've elected to be our representatives and continue to tell them what it is we want and let them know in no uncertain terms when we don't like something, they'll pass laws that just hurt us.
And I want to focus on the people that we elected in a moment too, because that's a very important part of all this. But back to the MPAA. Now, I've never really investigated this. And you'd think being sued by this organization, I would have looked into it a little bit more carefully. But I've always been sort of curious. You know, we talk about the MPAA, Motion Picture Association of America, but their parent company is the MPA, Motion Picture Association. That's the global organization. And, you know, I just kind of figured their take on this might be a little bit different because, after all, they're global. Well, listen to the first paragraph from their website, which, by the way, it was a real pain to find their website without Wikipedia. I could not track it down, but I eventually found something that came from that site about the MPA. Listen to the first paragraph to see how global they are. Today, U.S. films are shown in more than 150 countries worldwide, and American television programs are broadcast in over 125 international markets. The U.S. film industry provides the majority of home entertainment products seen in millions of homes throughout the world. The MPA was formed in 1945 in the aftermath of World War II to reestablish American films in the world market and to respond to the rising tide of protectionism resulting in barriers aimed at restricting the importation of American films. The MPA's name was changed from the Motion Picture Export Association of America. Well, I think I've read enough to show where their loyalties are. It's nothing international as far as I'm concerned.
Hey, Eva, I'm wondering if you could maybe take us back a moment and explain for any of our audience who's been like living under some rock where they never look at Wikipedia even, what are these bills?
All right. Well, we are talking about two bills here, PIPA and SOPA. PIPA is the Senate version of the blacklist legislation, which will go to the Senate floor on January 24th. And SOPA is the House version, which will go back before the House Judiciary Committee sometime in early February. Both of these bills contain language that will unconstitutionally silence legitimate speech, allowing the entertainment industry to shut down sites with accusations of infringement and without any real due process, and would give corporations and other private parties new powers to censor foreign websites with court orders that would cut off payment processors and advertisers, things like PayPal and Visa and MasterCard. They also contain language that threatens innovation. Service providers will be forced to monitor and police their users' activities, which threatens the DMCA safe harbors, which have been really vital to online innovation over the last decade, so that you don't have to worry about every single person who posts to, say, your blog or your Flickr page or who has an account on Twitter, if you're Twitter. Venture capitalists have said that they won't invest in online startups if PIPA and SOPA pass. There are some interesting DNS filtering provisions, which were, I think, recently taken out of SOPA, but which would have required the ISPs to keep a blacklist at the DNS levels in order to prevent you from being able to get to sites which had been accused of hosting infringing material. And finally, there's some language which threatens the user-generated content revolution. All the social media and cloud-based services are going to be at risk of being cut out at the knees by the payment processing provisions, which say that you can't do business with a site that hosts copyrighted content outside of the United States.
Well, I'd actually like to bring up a counterpoint by somebody out there in the internet world. His name is Rupert Murdoch. And what he says it's a nonsense argument about danger to internet. How about Google and others blocking porn and hate speech? The internet isn't hurt by that. So what's the difference? Anyone? Eva?
Well, a couple of things. You cannot block a site simply by accusing it of being porn or accusing it of being hate speech, which is absolutely true of the sort of language which is in both PIPA and SOPA regarding copyright infringement. Furthermore, there's a thing called fair use. Not all uses of copyrighted material are necessarily infringing, and there are a number of factors which weigh into deciding whether or not a use is fair use, and you cannot necessarily automate that sort of process. Literally, like a judge or a lawyer needs to sit down and look at it and see whether or not your use of copyrighted material is a fair use. It is not nearly as straightforward as something like, is that child porn?
The other thing about it is that's comparing one company voluntarily filtering things versus making it a law that all companies across the internet and all websites and all that have to abide by. So it's kind of a little different. I mean, you may consider Google to be the internet if you're Rupert Murdoch, but that's not actually the case.
Yeah. I just love how they're so indignant about these websites being taken down. They say that they're punishing their users. How dare they do this? Except, you know, it's their websites to do that with. And what they apparently want to do is be able to be the people that take down their websites. But when the people who own and run the websites do it themselves, that's abuse. It's really kind of weird.
I saw some brilliant summary of this argument. You can't shut down your website. Only we can do that.
Exactly. Okay, let's get back to the demonstration, which took place. First of all, Gillibrand and Schumer are two senators.
Yes.
They stand in support of this, from my understanding?
Yes, they're both, I believe they're both co-sponsors of the bill. They've both, definitely both, stated their support for the bill.
Wow.
Go New York, yeah.
When's the most recent time they stated their support for the bill, or the bills?
I don't know.
Not recently, I'll bet.
Well, look, I'll tell you what didn't happen today, what did not happen today is someone coming down from these offices and saying, you know, you're right, we've changed our mind.
Mm-hmm. But I bet they were looking out the window.
It's a very tall building.
I'm sure they were very concerned about this. I've heard people say we have to hold elected officials responsible and not reelect anybody who supports this kind of thing, because even if this bill goes down in flames, they're just going to do it again. So people have to come out and make a statement against this, and we have to know where they stand. Freedom of expression on the internet is a very important thing. And Eva, I'd just like to ask you, can you give us a hypothetical situation that maybe somebody listening who's, you know, not running a website themselves, or is maybe just a consumer, something that could happen that would affect them, that they could see, wow, this really is a threat?
Well, I can actually point you to a bunch of stories which stem from my experiences with the Digital Millennium Copyright Act, which is the existing legislation which allows people to try to take down content which is allegedly infringing online. And when the MPAA and other supporters of SOPA and PIPA say, oh, no, there's absolutely no way that this legislation will be abused to curtail free speech, the first thing that I do is I point to EFF's Takedown Hall of Shame, in which we describe ways in which people have abused the DMCA for exactly this purpose, and Google's Chilling Effects, which is a website which chronicles all the different ways in which people have used the DMCA to take down content off of Google. Now, some of the more interesting stories that I have seen have included perfectly, you know, fair uses and reinterpretations of copyrighted content, satirical content, satirical and political content, which was removed just before an election, which I thought was particularly touchy. But generally, what I would say is, if you are in the habit of putting things up online, and you want people to be able to reach those things, and you don't want to, say, be sued or possibly found criminally liable, then you need to care about SOPA and PIPA, because it's if SOPA and PIPA pass it, then it is possible for someone to simply make an accusation that your content is infringing, And
Eva?
Yes.
Hello, Eva. I just had a question. This is Bernie S. in Philadelphia. You just touched on the political speech angle, mm-hmm. and I had a question about that that I was asking some of my colleagues here on Off the Hook the other day. Suppose SOPA and PIPA were enacted into law, mm-hmm. and a political candidate started copywriting their campaign speeches. Those sound clips which are you know commonly used by their political opponents in their campaign ads, which are typically posted online, wouldn't under these laws, if they were enacted, allow political candidates who are attacked in political ads using their own words, which they'd copyrighted, couldn't your political opponents have those websites or domain names or IP addresses where those ads are posted from shut down? And couldn't political speech literally be censored under the authority of government law?
They could, and it would not necessarily even have to be a violation of copyright. All that they have to do is simply request that it be taken down and allege that it was a copyright violation.
Wow.
There was a DMCA case where a copyright case that EFF got involved in a couple of years ago in which I think it was Michael Savage had had part of his radio show devoted to an organization called CARE, the Council on Arab American Relations. Islamic Relations, and he alleged that they were a terrorist organization. CARE took this clip and used it as part of their fundraising. Basically, hey, this hate monger hates us so much, give us money. And Michael Savage accused them of copyright infringement for having used this clip.
Hey, well, hate speech is protected, isn't it?
And sued them. And EFF helped to defend CARE. Under SOPA or PIPA, they could have simply gone to the ISP, filed a complaint, and had the videos taken down.
Or the whole, not only have the videos taken down,
they could have had the entire
website
taken
offline.
He could have taken down all of CARE's website.
Well, okay. One point, Eva, I don't think you got to finish this, but the DMCA, if someone made a request, say, for a YouTube video, say that was infringing, they could get YouTube to take that down under the DMCA. But under SOPA and PIPA, what is the difference? What could happen then?
Well, under the DMCA, under the DMCA, they could file a DMCA takedown request, which would just take down the video as opposed to the entire website or the entire domain. And furthermore, the person who is alleged to have violated copyright may get the video put back up by filing a counter notice. No such notice or counter notice language is in SOPA or PIPA.
Interesting. Okay, very very far-reaching and a lot of power being put into very few hands. One thing that really kind of baffles me is the involvement of Senator Patrick Leahy, who I thought was one of the members of Congress who had a clue. Am I the only one who's kind of surprised by his involvement in this?
Honestly, I'm not really very surprised to hear any of this coming from our Congress.
Well, is there anybody?
They're so clueless most of the time.
Eva, let me ask you this. Is there anybody that we can look to as actually getting it that we can maybe use as somebody, an example of someone who gets it right that's elected?
I recommend Ron Wyden.
Okay.
I am a big fan of Ron Wyden. In fact, he just wrote a letter of thanks to the internet in response to the blackout, and is one of the co-sponsors of an alternative work of legislation, which also addresses online copyright, called the Open Act.
Okay, and where is he from?
I believe he is a representative from Oregon.
Okay, well, that's something. And if you're a representative from anywhere and you would like to be given a thumbs up on Off the Hook, well, you just got to do the right thing and support internet freedom and that kind of thing. look at this. Alta Vista's site doesn't have anything on it. They just have the search bar. No state. Did you know Alta Vista even still existed? Yeah, they do. I found them today. I looked them up, and here they are, and they just have their search. I don't think anyone has used that search bar in 5 years.
Does anyone work there to put up a black page?
Maybe they just don't know about it. It's possible. But yeah, it wouldn't have taken much, would it? Here's something else, and I would like to take some phone calls from our listeners. I know this is a big issue for many of you out there. 212-209-2950. I'm sorry, that's not a pledge line. No, don't pledge. Well, do pledge if you want to, but not right now. 212-209-2900 is our phone number to get on the air and voice your opinion. We're on the phone with Eva Galperin from the Electronic Frontier Foundation, a bastion of knowledge, and these are the guys to support. Go to EFF.org. Eva, are you blacked out?
Yes, we are.
Okay, so what, if people go there, can they make donations, or will they have to wait?
They can still make donations. Our page contains a big censored logo, and then a link to our petition and a bunch of information about PIPA and SOPA.
Okay. Not to pick on MPAA too much. No, actually, you know what? I do want to pick on MPAA a whole lot. This statement here just goes to show you how scrupulous they really are. It's entitled Senator Dodd on Irresponsible Developments of Blackout Day. Only days after the White House and chief sponsors of the legislation responded to the major concern expressed by opponents and then called for all parties to work cooperatively together, some technology business interests are resorting to stunts that punish their users or turn them into their corporate pawns rather than coming to the table to find solutions to a problem that all now seem to agree is very real and damaging. It's great how they're using the corporate pawn, I think, against these people. It is an irresponsible response and a disservice to people who rely on them for information and use their services. It is also an abuse of power, given the freedoms these companies enjoy in the marketplace today. Yeah, they should know something about abuse of power. It's pretty funny. It's a dangerous and troubling development when the platforms that serve as gateways to information intentionally skew the facts to incite their users in order to further their corporate interests. See all these catchphrases they're using: corporate interest, corporate pawns, all kinds of taking advantage of the poor individuals. You know, that's their territory. They're the ones doing this, but they're accusing their opponents. And finally here, a so-called blackout is yet another gimmick, albeit a dangerous one. Yes, designed to how's dangerous exactly? Designed to punish elected and administration officials who are working diligently to protect American jobs, here we go again, from foreign criminals. It is our hope that the White House and the Congress will call on those who intend to stage this blackout to stop the hyperbole and PR stunts and engage in meaningful efforts to combat piracy. And again, as mentioned on this website over and over again, this is a statement from Senator Dodd. Senator Dodd said this, Senator Dodd said that. You know what they don't mention on their website? Where these things are? The Senator Dodd is no longer a senator. He was a senator. Now he's the chairman and CEO of the MPAA. Yes. Did you know that? They don't call him that. They call him Senator Dodd to make it seem as if there's actual support. I mean, there is support in Congress for this kind of nonsense. But to make it seem that this strident, emotional talk is coming from Congress when it's actually not.
I mean, but the copyright industry is writing the speeches of the current members of Congress. There's
true.
No real reason to.
But the fact that they don't reveal that, I think, speaks volumes for you know, how open they actually are and what they want to hide.
It's also a nice level of consistency. I think that dialogue is at least as trite as 99% of what the Hollywood has put out in the past year or so.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So shall we go to the telephones? You guys want to take some phone calls?
I would love to.
All right, 212-209-2900. Let's pick a line over here, and let's try to stay on topic. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook.
Yeah, I was just calling about this whole thing. There was a couple points that I'd like to make and then a question. So the first thing was about if she could say anything more about the DNSSEC-related implications of SOPA PIPA, and then also about maybe how it relates to fashion and handbags, because they talk about this stuff about taking down sites that sell counterfeit handbags. And then also maybe people might be interested in this TED Talk video from some woman about fashion and copyright and things like that. And so if you just, like, search the web for TED Talk about fashion, you'll probably find it, this woman, Joanna Blakely. And then I'll just listen.
Yeah, okay, listen to the response on the radio. Thanks for your call. Go ahead, Eva.
All right. I can touch on the DNSSEC issue really quick. There is some language in I think both SOPA and PIPA which makes it illegal to try to circumvent the DNS blocking or any of the other efforts that the bill makes in order to prevent you from getting to certain websites. I don't know whether that language survived the dropping of the DNS blacklist language. But it was definitely in there as of a few weeks ago, and that would render DNSSEC illegal. That would also have rendered the use of Tor in order to get around these sorts of blocks illegal.
Wow!
So that is deeply concerning to
Tor being the Onion router, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Go ahead, Mike.
Eva, what are some of the other countries in which these sorts of things are illegal?
In which getting to certain types of websites?
Well, like circumventing the sort of government-mandated blocking.
Well, that's really quite simple. Pretty much every country in which government-mandated blocking exists also makes it illegal to try to get around it. But most notably, China.
I mean, one thing about this also is that this legislation, if it hurts anyone, it's going to be Americans only. The internet is a global network, and this is going to, I mean, this is going to block things for Americans.
American
mostly.
Jobs? Will American jobs be...
Well,
I've heard that's the issue
there's
here.
There's a
American
lot of us
jobs.
Versus them rhetoric.
Well, there's actually been talk that that a lot of tech companies would actually have to go dark as a result of this. So a lot of tech companies would actually, you know, start sending people out to look for work elsewhere, and that they might start relocating to places like Canada or other countries. leave the United States basically because the United States wouldn't be as fertile of a ground for cyber. Business.
All right, let's take some more phone calls. 212-209-2900. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook.
Greetings from Shirley.
How you doing?
I'm doing all right. First of all, I really got upset when you said you were going to be off the air for an hour. I was sitting in my car because I don't have a way to listen to you in the house.
Yeah, we heard a collective roar from the streets below, and we decided to second guess ourselves.
Yes, sir. That was a good idea. Second of all... I thought of going the old school way and writing a letter, but I don't think the 24th is when they're going to be looking at the bill.
Next Tuesday.
Do you even think a letter can get through in that time, given our current postal system?
All right, Eva, I'll let you take that one.
If you're willing to wait until Monday, EFF is staging a call-in day, asking people to call their senators ahead of the debate, which will be happening on the 24th. We're asking people to call on Monday and talk to their senators and let them know that they want them to oppose PIPA.
Okay, so how does that work as far as call-in day? You supply the phone numbers and people just basically, I guess, line up in a queue and try and reach people in their elected offices, elected officials' offices?
We have the phone numbers online. All right. You have to do is call. We have a Facebook event on the EFF's Facebook page if you use Facebook, and if not, it is on the EFF calendar on our website, www.eff.org.
Now, for someone who's never called an elected official before, what can they expect? I mean, they're probably not going to speak to Senator Schumer or something like that, but what will they get?
You will talk to a staffer or an aide, and they are mostly interested in the numbers of people who call about a specific issue.
I was told that if you tried to call the New York senators in particular today, you couldn't get through. Their phones were off the hook.
Well, off the hook or just busy? Is it legal to take their phones off the hook if you're an elected official?
I don't know that there's a law against it. I was told they were off the hook. I didn't try myself to distinguish exactly why people couldn't get through, but people were trying and failing.
All right, we're the only off the hook in town. No one else gets to do that.
I would also just like to mention that a supplementary measure people can do is you can go to their websites and use the web interface to send them an email instead of snail mail. If you're worried it won't get to them in time. So in addition to calling them on Monday, you can try to get you and your address associated instead of just by...
Paper. Eva, you must know which is the most effective way, which is the best thing to do.
The best thing to do is both, especially if you're concerned that your phone calls might not get through. EFF has an online petition, and I'm proud to say that about half an hour ago, we reached 1 million emails that we had sent to U.S. congressmen just today. In the blackout.
1 million in one day.
Yes.
That's unbelievable.
Eva?
Mm-hmm?
a question. Do when you call a representative, a legislator, a congressman, or a senator, do they grade or classify the calls as to whether how strong the opposition is, or is it just for or against?
They're primarily interested in whether you're for or against.
Okay.
How would they do that, by the tone of your voice?
Well, one presumes that if you are calling about a specific issue, you're going to mention whether you're for or against it.
Right. All right. Let's take another phone call. Good evening. You are on Off the Hook. Go ahead.
All right, guys. I apologize. This is a little off topic, but I'm completely struck. This is directed to Eva. Eva, you there?
Yes.
Eva, your speaking voice is almost identical to Mary Kissel from the Wall Street Journal. So just for your own amusement, go to YouTube or whatever, find an interview with Mary Kissel from the Wall Street Journal. Your speaking voice is remarkably similar to hers.
Okay, so you've uncovered the plot there. Thank you very much for that.
Please don't tell my boss I've been moonlighting at the Wall Street Journal.
I'm so sorry we blew your cover there. Let's take another phone call. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook.
Oh, hello. In words, this thing, TIPA, PIPA, whatever that is, what is it in words, and also what is the Senate bill number?
Okay, let's say it in words, not in Morse code. Go ahead. Eva, you want to take this?
All right. I don't have the Senate bill number in front of me. I'm very sorry about that.
It's easy to look up, though, okay. Once everything starts working again.
Yes.
We're looking it up now on our smartphone. Wait, do you have something? Or?
Yeah, I actually downloaded the bills to my phone.
Just tell us the number.
S968, and the acronym Protect IP actually stands for To Prevent Online Threats to Economic Creativity and Theft of Intellectual
Property.
It's
an acronym within an acronym, too.
Yeah, it's an acronym of an acronym.
That's really something.
Yes.
Eva, did you have anything else to say to that caller?
Yes, both SOPA and PIPA are legislation which is currently being proposed, which has currently been proposed and is being debated, which is aimed at curbing online piracy on the internet, but in fact goes about it in such a way that it curtails free speech and is very threatening to innovation online.
Okay, let's see if we can fit in one more phone call because we only have a couple of minutes left. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook.
Hey, I just want to say thanks for having such a great show. You really changed my perspective on a lot of things with technology. And I recently dropped that Comcast is my ISP. I read a Google News article that they were in support of SOPA and TIPA. And I wanted to know where I could find out where more corporations are supporting this. And I'll just sit back and listen.
Good question. Eva, do you know this?
I'm trying to remember who has a list of all of the SOPA supporters. Are you interested in companies, or are you interested in legislators?
I think he was asking about companies, but certainly legislators. I think that a lot of people are following elected officials. I know GoDaddy was one company, and look what happened to them.
Yeah.
And certainly the MPAA is an organization very strongly in support of this. So I imagine lists are being generated.
And also,
Gizmodo actually put up a list.
Okay.
Of a bunch of companies that are supporting SOPA.
And also, if you're interested, it's a relatively simple matter to call the people who you do business with, your web host or domain host or whatever, and get in touch with them and ask them what they think, and do your business accordingly.
Yeah, make it an issue.
One of the really awesome things about the way this has been unfolding is a lot of companies who were sort of in favor of the general idea, and so they ended up on some list of people who are sort of vaguely in favor of the general idea. They actually read the legislation that was being proposed, and they said, no, we got to get our names off this. This is terrible. And I think that's really, you know, exciting in a way.
It's inspirational to me to just see how quickly this came about. And I think it's so related to the things that have been going on over the past year or two with Anonymous and Occupy Wall Street and people like that that have really galvanized public support and raised their voices and pointed the cameras literally opposite them to focused right on them because, you know, the media, you really have to sort of guide them into a story lots of times. Eva, just as a final question to you, do you think the media is finally, even though the media is very often owned by the very people that are pushing this kind of thing, do you think they're starting to get the story?
Well, I think that the story is starting to see a lot of pickup in the mainstream media right now. I know it's very fashionable to blame the mainstream media for not having covered SOPA and PIPA earlier, But if you are, you know, working in a medium like television, SOPA and PIPA are very, very difficult to explain to a television audience, whereas a story like Wikipedia blacks out in response to SOPA or PIPA is, in fact, a very easy story to sell to the mainstream media.
And that's why it was done. That's why Wikipedia had to do this. That's why everybody had to do this, because that's how you get the story out there in the first place. Eva Galperin, I want to thank you so much for being a part of the show tonight. Is there any contact information for the EFF you'd like to give out to our listeners?
Absolutely. If people want to know more about SOPA and PIPA and what they can do, I recommend that they go to blacklists.eff.org. blacklists.eff.org. And that is where we have our petitions, and also where we will have a link to our call-in day on Monday.
Okay, and we'll certainly be updating people on this story. Now, as the outro tonight, Rob T. Firefly, you found a particularly apropos piece of music. You want to tell us about it?
Yeah, this is a great song. I was pointed toward it by Juice Media, who does rap news. And it's called The Internet Fight Song, and it's by someone called Funk Vigilante. And we had to censor it a little bit for the radio, but to find the original, you can find this on YouTube, and it's got a great video to go along with it.
Okay, oth@2600.com. That's our email address. We'll see you next week.
Sydney developers, YouTube addicts, Facebook junkies, gamer geeks, Reddit, and even you sick freaks on beat. This is the Internet Fight Song. Got a little story for you, so check it out. Time to relax, kick back, turn my lappy on. I got my day nine, my bong, and some pterodactyl porn. I'm checking Rage Comics and surfing our trees, watching rap news and John Lejeune. It's all free. Click all day at work, I'm clicking all night long. I click it to click till I get carpal tunnel syndrome. Oh, Internet, is there anything you can't do? I love you, man. Wish there was something I could do for you.
There is, my friend.
Jesus Christ, dude!
No, this is not Jesus speaking to you. This is the voice of the Internet.
Oh, my God, what the hell? I'm tripping out.
I need your help, so could you please settle down?
Okay.
Long have I frolicked, uncensored and free. But there are those that would try to silence me.
Like who?
The government and entertainment industry want to restrict me with SOPA and protect IP.
Well, what do you want me to do?
I want you inside
me. What the f***?
Quit thinking with such a perverted mind, please. I need you to get on me.
Seriously? Come on, man.
And tell as many people as you possibly can. Put it in the form of a funky-ass jam and upload it.
Okay, I think we can handle that, man. I'm sure we can slap down a little rhyme for you.
Now hurry, you ass clown. There is no time to lose.
All right, everybody. I swear to God, this is true. The Internet itself just told me to tell you. You gotta get off of Battle.net and quit looking at cats. They wanna f*** with our internets, and it's time to fight back.
Fight! Protect IP! Fight! Keep the web open and free! Fight! There's a lesson don't you ever forget! Fight! Don't f*** with the Internet!
It's all propaganda, propagated by the elite. Cause they cash cows are going obsolete. They're forced to compete with indie artists and developers who are light years ahead of them because they're better competitors. And instead of fighting fair, they call their friends up on a hill and stuff their greedy pockets with dirty dollar bills. Next thing you know, the future of the free world is being debated by people so old they don't know how email is operated. And today is SOPA, but tomorrow they'll name it different. So Internet vigilantes, we must remain vigilant. Cause the people that fight back, that's one fact I have no doubt of. So take your censorship and shove it up the ass you pulled it out of. Fight. Don't f*** with the Internet. Freedom of speech is under attack. All jokes aside, this could be the most significant battle of our time. Cause today they say they just wanna stop the piracy, but sooner or later just watch, they'll censor all the things. That's the real reason that they went after WikiLeaks. Cause oppressive governments, man, they hate free speech. Cause it's tough to run an empire when the public is informed. They hold your feet to the fire, now more than ever before. Cause we can mobilize faster than ever. Who would have thought? From the Occupy movement to the GoDaddy boycott, we can organize protests all across the world. I even saw him raise 20 G's for a sick little girl. The good deeds of our community, far too many to name. To put a freeze on this technology would be foolish and insane. And if they did lock down the net, where would the people be then? You're sure as f*** getting any news out of CNN. Because the Internet connection.
us all to one another. The human race is a family, we are sisters and brothers, united in the battle for a better way, to find a future by the history we write today. And yeah, we'll fight them, but they're gonna keep coming back around, so we can never give up and never back down. Let's stand our ground, so this won't actually be the end of the internet as we know it, cause that's GG.
Fight! Fight!
Prepare and protect your pee!
Fight! Fight!
Keep the web open and free!
Fight! Fight!
Here's a lesson don't you ever forget!
Fight! Fight!
Don't f*** with the internet!
Woo! That was powerful. That was powerful! Ah, the internet, that's right. Oh boy, they're looking to take away all your rights to stop you from getting all of those secrets that are on the internet. Shutting it down.